All right, coming up today at 11:20, you'll hear what an NBA insider says. It could cost the Pistons to get one of the players that fans covet. Kind of interesting. So that'll be today at 11:20, and then you can judge, is it worth the price? In the meantime, you asked a question before the break. What did I think of Wemby and the majority of the Spurs just walking straight to the locker room? I don't think there's any other way to put it than it's poor sportsmanship.
Yeah.
However, I don't particularly care. And the reason I don't particularly care is because I actually think in a league that has gotten less interesting, it makes it more interesting. If it leads to bad blood between two teams that I don't care about, the Spurs and the Knicks, fine. There are other ways you can congratulate. You can congratulate people on winning a championship. In the biggest moment of despair that you will have as a professional athlete, when your dreams are taken away from you, I think it's a very difficult thing to go and congratulate the people that just took it from you. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I'm saying it's incredibly difficult.
Look, I'm not suggesting they have a line like they do in hockey, because I think that's one of the coolest things in sports. But I don't know. Maybe I'm getting softer in my older age. But, you know, just, you know, one minute I go over, go dap the, you know, Brunson, just, you know, and then leave, you know, those type of things.
I don't know. It is poor sportsmanship.
It's not that big of a deal.
It's not that big of a deal. But if it means, like, I like the league more when the teams seem to hate each other.
Yeah.
And now it seems like everybody's buddy-buddy. And so if this leads to some more drama, like legitimate, not manufactured drama, if the Spurs were so bitter about the way the Knicks played them in that series and forced them to walk off the floor and they didn't want to dap them up, I mean, it could be the beginning of a real rivalry.
Well, they shouldn't be pissed at the Knicks. They should be pissed at themselves.
Of course they should be pissed at themselves.
I don't think there's any animus between them and the Knicks players. There was no really dirty stuff going on. If you want to say anybody was dirty in the series, it was Wemby.
Yeah, but, and it might be, again, another sign of their youth showing.
Yes.
I don't think it's an unforgivable sin, but no. I also don't, I'm not that worked up about it. And I think way too much was made of it when the Pistons did it, and the Pistons weren't the first team to do it.
Right. Actually, they weren't. You know who did it before them?
Well, the Celtics, right?
Yes, against the Pistons.
Yeah.
The old heads always clamor for, oh, these guys are too friendly now. They text each other, hang out with each other. There's no real rivalries. And then a team walks off without dapping up the other team. Now we get upset?
Yeah. Well, it's more old school than it is new school. That's for
right?
sure.
Yeah, it's true. But I just thought, I don't know, the way things are right now, I thought it would have been, you know, somewhat classy. Just, to, hey, way to go. You kicked
Well, it's ass. Classier. Yeah. I'm not going to argue with right. that.
I'm not going to get on a mountaintop and scream till.
Well, neither of us are.
Home, but
neither of us are.
It was a bad look for him,
and
especially
for
Wemby.
If we were doing the show in New York or San Antonio, I'd be saying the same thing. I'd be like, "All right, yeah, maybe it is poor sportsmanship, but I'll tell you what, it also could be the foundation of what could be a fun rivalry to watch moving forward."
Now we know, like John, if he was playing, he would have gone right to the locker room too, pretty much. I think Jansen, but. In the NFL, you see a lot of these guys after the Super Bowl, they, you know, whether it's a hug or it's a nice game, and then they go off and let the other team celebrate. Baseball is the one sport in the major leagues where they do nothing.
Well, they sit in the dugout and watch them celebrate, right? To make the, like, to have the pain set
yeah,
in.
Yes,
you know I mean? Some guys do,
exactly.
Not everybody, but a couple
right.
of guys will sit there. And
they don't do the lines like they do in, like, you know, travel baseball or whatever, you know?
Why is it different with every sport?
I don't know.
Isn't it the same in the end? You lost to a team that you tried to, you know, you were both same goal, win the championship, but every sport is different in how you're supposed to react after?
I don't know. I don't know why it's different.
Well, it's also what kind of makes these sports unique is that every sport is unique. That's another reason why hockey's the greatest. It's the only sport where they give the trophy to the player, not the freaking owner.
Yeah. Well, that leads to another topic we'll get into a little bit later on. But yes, to me, not a federal crime.
No, it's
not. I think you're a little bit more worked up about it than I am.
A little bit, but not too crazy.
Do you understand my point, though?
Yeah.
The game's gotten soft.
Yes, absolutely.
248-539-9797. Jay is in White Lake, and he's next. Hello, Jay.
Hey, boys. How are you?
What's up?
Well, so, Doug, you kind of deep-sixed my chump just now.
Sorry.
And Well, no. But you made some really good points, actually. And I'm sitting here. I'll start with my chump was going to be Wemby, and I feel like he stepped in it a couple of times. I thought the comments that he made at the end, you know, about, well, we lost, but we dominated them every game, and we made our own mistakes, and blah blah blah. Sometimes I think I'd rather show grace than be right, because he is right. But I just thought, after you get beat 4-1, maybe don't say that. Maybe save it for a few days. I thought that was a little classless. And I was going to include the fact that he didn't dap up Brunson at the end of the game, because it did bother me. But the points you just made were actually pretty valid. So when I really think about it, I love a good, nasty rivalry in any sport. And, you know, so I'm gonna retract that last part of my chump based on your comments, Doug. But my champ, has got to be the Canes. I'll tell you what, not only did they win the Stanley Cup, but that game last night, the speed at which that team played that hockey game, and it was like there were magnets on their sticks. The puck movement, the speed, it's like, who knew that there was a secret seventh gear to these guys? They just so badly outskated Vegas, in my opinion, that I from the first drop of the puck, I don't think Vegas had a chance. I watch a lot of hockey, and I haven't seen that kind of pace in a hockey game, and I can't remember how long. I was blown away by it.
I thought a lot of the playoffs were like that to a certain extent, and it also, to localize it a little bit, makes you really realize when you watch these playoffs that the Red Wings basically play a completely different sport.
I was just going to say that the only sad part for me was I'm watching these guys go to work last night, and in the multiple times I thought to myself, oh man, we wouldn't last. We wouldn't last a minute up against this. And that, you know, that kind of sucks to see that. But yeah, they were on a whole nother level last night. I thought it was a brilliantly played game. I could have done without Brind'Amour taking his shirt off in the locker room, but you know, hey, God bless him. He's hoisting the cup, you know. But yeah, the Canes are definitely my champ.
So dominant performance. They go 16-3.
Yes,
in the postseason.
That was almost going to be my stat of the day, because the New York Knicks also went 16-3.
Oh wow, I didn't realize that. The last team to take that few games to win a Stanley Cup. Take it back to 1988, the Edmonton Oilers.
Wow,
who did it in 18 games? Those are dominant. Dominant runs.
Yeah. And, you know, Carolina, you know, Staal wins the Conn Smythe, and rightfully so. He set the tone from the first drop of the puck of their first playoff game against Ottawa. Him and Brady Tkachuk went at it.
Yeah.
And that set the tone for them. And it also, and even you can talk about the Knicks series, the Knicks playoff run too, this whole rest, you know, is it better to be rested or you want to keep playing momentum? Because both these teams had major segments of times off because they swept everybody
right
for most of their playoff run.
248-539-9797. It's the kind of run you dream of as a fan, not particularly fan of either team that just won it all, so don't really care all that much. But all right, champ of the weekend is Lewis Hamilton for winning the Barcelona Grand Prix by 20 seconds over his closest rival. Chump of the weekend, the San Antonio Spurs for choking away so many leads in the NBA Finals. That's from Bob.
I think can't argue with the chump. I don't know enough about F1. Yeah. I mean, I know Lewis Hamilton is.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, look, the Spurs are a young team.
Yeah.
And in theory, you think it's the beginning of a long run, but it may not be, but I think their youth showed.
Yeah.
Let's see. Champ Miz for the Brewers, chump Hinch and Harris, whoever thinks Jamai Jones ever should see the field again in a Tiger jersey.
Miz is unbelievable.
Yeah, and as far as the Jamai Jones thing, I will be shocked. They got Houston. If Jamai doesn't, like, really break out of it in Houston, I'll be shocked if he's with the Tigers next weekend. I think AJ covertly laid out the plan that he had two more series where he will get opportunities knowing the righty-lefty matchups. And he keeps saying in every interview, hey, he's got to produce. And I don't think he publicly come out and say, unless this guy does something in the next six games, we're going to cut him. But I think
he would never say that.
No, publicly. I think the clues are there.
Yeah.
What else we got here? Champ, the New York Knicks, for breaking a 53-year drought and beating the league darling Wemby, who could do no wrong. Champ, AJ Hinch, stop with the lineup manipulation. If I see Vierling hitting again of Green or Dingler again, I'm done until he's fired. Also enough with Jemai, MF, and Jones. That's from Nate in Royal Oak. Well, he's answering the Jemai Jones question, and he did it on the air last week when the morning show had him on. They had a really good conversation. They're very pointed about Jemai Jones, and I think he said, look, we have an expectation for what a guy in his role needs to do, and he needs to do it. And they're giving him his opportunities to sink or swim, and he is sinking. As far as the Green ahead of Vierling ahead of Green thing, I did not see any post-game where he addressed it. Usually when asked about the lineup, he does a good job of addressing what he's thinking. I apologize, though. I did not see what he said. 248-539-9797. All right. People say they want this player. An NBA insider lays out what it might take to get him. And it ain't cheap. We'll get to that today at 11:20. I'm Carson Anderson on 97.1. A little bit of breaking news here.
Oh, what? What?
Gator is playing in the Rocket Mortgage Classic Media Day. Two more commitments announced today. One is top 20 in the world rankings. Siwoo Kim.
Oh.
Ranks number 18. He will be playing in the Rocket Classic, and so will world's number 34, Wyndham Clark. Did you see what Wyndham Clark did this weekend?
Yes, he wore a U.S. Hockey Jack Hughes jersey. At the Canadian Open.
At the Canadian Open. I'm going to guess that the hole he was playing was like their rowdy party hole, which it seems like almost every tour stop has now.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I remember back at the Buick Open back in the day, it was number 17.
It was awesome.
Was just a party.
Right. And it was the Eastern time zone version of the 16th at Phoenix.
Yes. I don't know what it is in Detroit here because I've been there twice as a fan. I don't know if there is one. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't, but I haven't noticed it. Wyndham Clark appeared to be playing that hole in the Canadian Open, and he pulled out a Jack Hughes USA hockey jersey, put it on, took the showering of booze from the Canadian fans, proceeded to tee off with it on. I think he took it off. But his tee shot rolled to like 6 feet. He put it back on and rolled in the birdie putt. And I got a video from my cousin Mikey, who is a Toronto kid. Well, he's from Nova Scotia, but he's living in Toronto now. And he texted, boo. And then he texted underneath, but kind of savage to respond that way and birdie the hole. Wyndham Clark, kind of awesome, really.
That is pretty cool. So is your cousin living in Nova Scotia?
He's living in Toronto now. He's from Nova Scotia.
So he's from Nova Scotia.
Yes.
Was he growing up, was he a Leafs fan or a Habs fan?
Because he hates the Leafs.
Because Montreal, there when I was a kid, one of their farm teams was the Nova Scotia Voyageurs.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No, what I'm about to tell you is true. He was always a Hartford Whaler fan.
So he
might be enjoying this. He is not as big a fan since they left Hartford.
It's very funny.
But he hates the Maple Leafs. He lives in Toronto and can't stand them.
I could see, if you're not from there, I totally agree. I have a friend here, shout him out, Jonathan Jones, who grew up like around Springfield, Massachusetts as a Hartford Whaler fan.
Right.
And he is... You know, because he moved here, so he didn't suffer the pain of being in the city when the team left. So he still follows the franchise. And he travels, and I know he went to one of the games in the Eastern Conference Finals, and he's a very happy guy.
I mean, I can text Mikey and find out. You probably don't actually care all that much, but I don't think he's not as big a fan as he used to be.
Right.
He just definitely hates Toronto. But okay. So Mark Stein. NBA insider.
Oh, yes.
The Stein line.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the All-NBA podcast. I think it's his. And the topic of Trey Murphy came up. Trey Murphy, mid-20s, high-volume scorer.
Pretty good defender, too.
Good three-point shooter. A player that Detroit fans have coveted. What will it cost to get a Trey Murphy? And he wasn't really specifically speaking about the Pistons, but he was kind of outlining what the cost for that player might be. And here's what he said. Okay. Four first rounders for Trey Murphy.
Yeah.
And you can't trade back-to-back years, so it probably it would start with this year's 27.
21 they have.
No, but my apologies. 2026 first-round pick. Yes, right. That is 21. My bad. So you'd skip 27. You'd have to go 26, 28, 30, and 32.
Yes.
Because those do project so far out, you may care less about that, but as he pointed out, with the current lottery system changing and flattened lottery odds, if you miss the playoffs in one of those years that you gave up a pick, the odds of that being a high pick have gone up, unless you're the worst team in basketball, which I guess the truth is it's probably gone down if you're the worst team in basketball. But would you give up four first rounders for Trey Murphy?
Would I?
Yeah.
F the picks. Yes.
You would.
Hey, perfect example. And he's not. I don't think he's as good as Trey Murphy. Mikal Bridges, the Knicks did it. And he ended up playing pretty well for most of the playoffs. And they won a championship. An important part of their championship team. Absolutely, I would do it. There's no guarantee that any of the four are going to be good now. It would suck if they, you know, Pelican, if you lost the number one pick or something like that because of that. Yeah, I get that. But that's a risk I'm willing to take.
Yeah.
What about you?
I mean, I'm more hesitant than you are. You know, the money is he's under contract for three more years, 27, 29, and 31 million.
Reasonable price.
Reasonable price under the cap. You know, would they do it? Could you throw in a player?
I don't care. Give him Ron Holland, too.
Yeah.
All due respect to Ron, but, you know,
doesn't sound very respectful.
Well, so. I know. Well, he's the first person I thought of, and he's been the one everybody's talking about.
Well, look, let me put it to you like this.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get him for four first-round picks, you're basically keeping your roster together.
Pretty much.
And you're immediately adding what you would hope to get out of the draft.
Yeah.
So you're also adding more salary right away.
Correct.
But, and this would be your all-in play. This would be your all-in kind of move.
But you'd also be possibly make some other moves trading, let's say, you know, fan favorite, but, you know, Isaiah Stewart or somebody like that. If you even want to get, you know, another guard, unless you really believe in Danis as your fourth guard.
It would probably come with some other shedding.
Yes.
Yeah. But it, just so people know what the price tag looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Four first-round picks. Now, he just did it because that was the market for Desmond Bain.
Correct.
And obviously, they gave up the four first-rounders, and Orlando didn't make it out of the first round. So there is an example of it. Was Mikal Bridges also four first-rounders?
Yes, I believe so.
Might have even been five. It was steep. Yeah. It was, at least four first-rounders, though.
Kang, what do you make of this price?
So, first of all, I don't think this is something Trajan would entertain personally. But with that being said, would I do it? It seems like a steep price because it is a steep price. I would still do it because I think you have to, obviously, if you're going to make a deal like this, you have to be believe in the player and be sure about the player. I think Trey Murphy is kind of like one of the more perfect players for this Piston roster. He's a 3-and-D guy. He can shoot the free throws very well as well. He's just that secondary scorer that I've been screaming for since the regular season, which I mean by that is just someone that can create their own shot and he can shoot the three. Like I said, it's almost 40% from three-point range. This is like, I don't think it like stunts the team too. Because the other part is, you mentioned it, Doug, it keeps the core intact. which is hard to do, to add someone of that caliber and keep your core intact, which is Asar, Jalen Duren, and obviously Cade Cunningham. You keep those three together, I think that's the main thing, and then you're able to add. I'm cool with this, man. I think this is the type of move I would like to see them make.
Right. I don't know if they would.
And I don't think they would.
And I'm under the impression that New Orleans ain't trading him.
Well, but, as he said, a lot of teams want him, but the price, he's not sure anybody's going to meet New Orleans' price.
Correct. Now, to give you the Bridges deal, Bridges was traded by the Nets at the time with Caleb Bates-Diop, Juan Pablo Value, and a 2026 second-round pick for Bojan Bogdanović, former Piston. Some other guy, I don't want to pronounce his name. Shake Milton, a 2025 first round pick, a first round pick, also in 2025, a second round pick, a 2027 first round pick, a 2028 first round pick, a 2029 first round pick, and a 2031 first round pick, and some other.
Is that five?
That's five. That's five. Mm-hmm.
And some of those must not have been theirs.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Well, there you go. Now, they have other free agents they got to worry about. They got to get Duren signed, which they appear to want to do. But Tobias, Javonte Green, Wendell Moore, Danis Jenkins, Kevin Huerter, Tolu Smith, some of those guys would be easy to part with, but they also wouldn't save a ton of money.
No, but they have to. I mean, I would be very disappointed if it's, we're going to bring back the band again. They have to do something.
Well, it feels like they want to.
Yes.
But this would be, you know, people. Let's just say this. We've had people that have coveted Trey Murphy for a long time.
Right.
But we haven't had a fan call up and say, give up four first rounders to get him. Mm-hmm. Nobody has gone that steep. Would you do it? 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson with Stoney in for Anderson here on 97.1. That's Mark Stein talking about the price for Trey Murphy, who is a player that we got asked about a lot around the trade deadline and, you know, implying there that it could take four first rounders, which obviously is a steep, steep, steep price. The draft is, I believe, round one is a week from tomorrow. Yeah, that is correct. It is a week from tomorrow. And then NBA free agency, does that start July 1st?
Usually.
Yeah.
Or is that just the legal tampering period?
So, in that
sport, too.
So the one thing Stein did say in listening to the entire podcast is he expects there to be a lot of trade talk and movement coming up here. So
around draft time.
Yes. And Pistons could be involved. And obviously, with 8 days to go to the draft, if New Orleans is interested in moving Trey Murphy, and it's for four first-round draft picks, it would probably start with this year's draft pick, the 26th draft pick. So it would feel like the clock's ticking on a Trey Murphy deal. Would you pay that price? Four first rounders, 248-539-9797. Keep in mind, he's under contract for three more years. Numbers pushing, what'd I say, $30 million? I believe is what we had it at. Sorry.
Yeah.
He is at 27, 29, and 31 the next 3 years. Pistons would probably have to renounce some of their own free agents to make this work, but he would certainly provide a lot of that scoring and the defense that they love, but shooting as well from beyond the arc. 248-539-9797. Rodney's in Detroit. Hello, Rodney.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
What's up?
I would love to see that deal, and finally a GM in this town out of the four major teams to actually make a big splash finally. And as a kicker, to make sure the deal would get thrown in, Mike, how would you feel like moving in New Orleans if we throw you in on a deal, too? You think they would take it?
Oh, for me to go?
Yeah.
Why are you trying to get rid of Stoney, Rodney?
I've been in New Orleans a few times, and obviously you can't live like there every day like you do for the weekend you go there, but it's a little too hot in the summer for me.
I know.
They don't have a hockey team. Or a baseball team.
I know. I was just messing with you.
Okay, I know. And I'm no fan of LSU, and Tulane's not relevant enough for me. So I'm going to say no.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
Look, the...
I didn't know Stoney had a no-trade clause.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Stoney, you got to okay this move, right? You're like Matt Tiger.
That's right. Speaking of which, you know what happened on this day in 1989?
If it's something with Matt Geiger, that would be unbelievable.
No, it's nothing with Matt Geiger, but it is something with a trade.
On this
and
day
it is local.
This day on 1989?
Mm-hmm.
It was a trade?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I was going to say, is it the day like Mahorn got picked up by the Timberwolves or something?
No, that's not so.
That's not a trade, though. I mean,
no, that was an expansion.
Yeah.
Wrong sport, but.
Did the Tigers do something?
No, but on this day in 1989, the St. Louis Blues traded Bernie Federko and Tony McKegney to the Red Wings for Adam Oates and Paul McLean. God, what an awful trade that was.
And I was worried there wouldn't be a payoff.
Yeah. Well, also, I'll give you some positive stuff, okay?
Right. Yeah.
This day, 2004, ladies and gentlemen, the Detroit Pistons completed the gentleman's sweep of the Los Angeles Lakers.
That was a fun series.
Yes, it was.
It's a fun series.
Yes.
I still was kind of in awe. I held the Lakers in this like romantic, you can't beat Kobe and Shaq kind of place.
Oh, most people did.
And they not only beat him, they beat him soundly.
Yeah, they should have won it in four straight.
Yes.
But they, whether it was Larry Brown or them not listening to Larry Brown, the fact that they didn't foul before Kobe hit the three in game two to send the game in overtime was bad coaching.
Let's see, Doug, I would do it in a heartbeat. You figure you'll be competing for the next several years and they will be picks in the late 20s anyway. That's from Quentin. Stuart Holland and two first round picks for Trey Murphy. That's from Jordan in a shop.
Oh yeah. But I think they would need more because I think somebody would offer more than that.
Yep. New Orleans could trade Murphy and then Zion at the deadline if he can be healthy, have a healthy first half. This would give them a war chest, and they could try and replicate what OKC built, which is the best way for a small market team to build a championship contender.
And where did Troy Weaver come from before he came here?
Oklahoma City, yeah. So, look, I mean, it feels like if that's the price, it's doable. The only question I would have is about the cap space, and not only this year, but beyond.
Well, you can always go over the cap space. You pay the luxury taxes, that's the true. Aprons and all no, that that's stuff. True. And the Lions have proved that their owner will spend money.
The Lions. The Pistons?
The Pistons,
you mean?
I meant.
Yes. Oh, yeah. He's not afraid of that.
No, no. I don't think money's an object.
No, I don't think so either. Yes. It's interesting. It's steep, but I don't think it's a deal breaker. I don't think four first-rounders is a deal-breaker.
No, not at all.
Chump, the city of New York for destroying their city. Champ Timothy Chalamet, after all these years, he finally won a championship. He was there, right?
Yes, he was
okay.
There.
So
there's celebs who are legitimate fans traveled. And they traveled here last year. Chalamet was here. Ben Stiller was here. Obviously, Spike Lee is here. Tracy Morgan was here. I have no problem because they've been fans. McEnroe, they've been fans for a long freaking time. No problem with them at all.
And look, I realize the financial resources aren't a roadblock to them going on the road.
Correct.
But it's one thing to show up in New York City. It's another thing to put the time and effort in to go on the road. It's still probably cheaper overall to take your PJ down to San Antonio and get a ticket there than it is to get a ticket to Madison Square Garden,
right,
courtside. But that's more of an effort. And wouldn't you like to think that if you reach celebrity status and somehow became a tycoon, that you would stay a fan of your team?
Absolutely.
And wouldn't you do exactly what these people are doing?
Yes.
I think it leads to a lot of vitriol and you get sick of them. But at the core, I think all of us commoners would like to think that we would do the same thing if we had wealth beyond our wildest dreams.
I mean, it was cool seeing Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David there. They've been all games before. Larry David has talked about his Knick fandom, and also he's a huge Jets fan. I got no problem
with
that.
Some of them are posers.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question.
Well, Taylor Swift was a poser, but, you know, whatever.
Yep.
Considering she had cheered for Cleveland the week before.
But right.
I had no problem with her. She wanted to go to the game. She could afford a big deal. It's not the end of the world. People making up, like, that's such a big deal. They didn't, I don't know.
Well, I won't question some of their fandom. Like you said, Stoney, some of these guys have been fans, you know, since for years and decades, right? That's fine. Yeah. My issue is a couple things. One, it feels like they want everyone to know they're a Knicks fan. It's annoying, like, hey, look at me, and I know some of that's on the cameras and the TV networks. And the other thing is, though, like, what I heard over the weekend, Doug, it just annoyed the crap out of me. A national show, I don't even know if it was a sports show, okay? But, you know, NBA Finals is pop culture. They went on the air and said, I want to congratulate Spike Lee and the Knicks for winning the NBA championship.
Okay,
he's not an actual player,
Kang, that's what I was going to say. Of all the celebrities, he's the only one that bothers me, even though he's probably the biggest fan, most loyal fan, because for years, he always seemed to me to make it about him, even though he's still rooting for his team. The other ones, you know, they sit where they sit and, you know.
Yeah, but he gets up and gets on the court.
Right.
And it's
argues
not like you
with
don't
Reggie
know.
Miller and all that. It's been going on for years.
And the camera can't avoid you at that point when you're on the court next to the referee and
plus
the two
what
guys
he's wearing.
Together.
He's wearing the most garish, you know, stuff you can imagine.
And so and another reason it bothers me as a whole, the celebrity. Yes, Doug, you're right. If I was rich and famous, I'd probably do similar things.
Yeah.
But I'm not rich and famous. And I feel like sports is something where the common man, that's what makes our lives better. Like the little things that we have in life, is one of them is sports. The celebrities and rich people and the elitists, they have everything. Like I'm supposed to feel good for Chalamet and Seinfeld because the Knicks won because they're fans. No, man, their life is great no matter what happens. But for the regular guy who can't afford tickets, who can watch only at home or whatever, that's the fan I feel better for.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The guy who can't afford all this stuff, who actually this enriches his life watching sports.
Right. Like I felt good about for my longtime friends who were 12 years old in 1973, the last time their basketball team won a championship. Those are the people that I feel happy for. I mean, but I don't care that the celebrities go. It's fine. I'm done being the fan gatekeeper.
Let me be clear here. At no point did I say feel better for Chalamet than you do for the average fan.
No,
I'm not saying you did, but I'm just saying people are out there. Like I told you, I heard the line, congratulations to Spike Lee and the Knicks. No, I'm not congratulating Spike Lee on anything.
Yep.
No.
248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. Stoney's in for Anderson today here on 97.1. Coming up today at 12:30, what an NHL insider has to say about the market for Dylan Larkin, including a report that a team has made an offer. We'll get to that today at 12:30. 248-539-9797. We got Champ and Chump votes coming in on a Monday, including this one from Mark, Champ USA Soccer, Chump People of New York, unnamed texter, Champ J Bat, Chump MSU Athletics. If you missed it this morning, J Bat is accepting the job as athletic director at the University of Kentucky. Which feels like he was pretty much speculation. I shouldn't say he was a goner. The speculation started as soon as Gus DeWis left, the president that Jay Batt may follow, and now he did.
Where do you think Michigan State fans would be if meet the new boss is the same as the old boss? Because Larry Leage has tweeted out that Mark Hollis tells AP he's interested in the Michigan State AD job.
I think they'd probably like it.
Yeah.
But I don't want to speak for them. Spike Lee and the Knicks, watch, they'll give him a ring. That's from Scott. That's probably not out of the question, and that's terrible. But
or he could just buy his own.
248-539-9797. Let's go to John at Macomb. You're next. Hello, John.
How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, I don't know if you guys are golf fans or not, but my champ is Wyndham Clark, who was playing in the Canadian Open this past weekend. Mm-hmm. They have a par 3 hole where they set up hockey boards around the tee and fans bang on them. And, you know, a lot of the players show up and they'll put a hockey jersey on and everything. He showed up, reached into his bag and pulled out a USA hockey jersey with Jack Hughes' name on the back of it.
Yep. Yeah, we talked about it earlier in the show because Wyndham Clark, it was announced this morning, is coming to Detroit for the Rocket Classic. And so we pointed out, we talked about that story. And my Canadian cousin up there sent me a text with the video and said, boo. But he also gave him credit for being savage for birdieing the hole in the Jack Hughes jersey.
I heard he saw somebody wearing it and he got inspiration and had somebody send it to him the next day or something.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you said, I thought that was pretty, as you said, savage that he'd pull that out. And then my chump would be, you know, and they're usually the nicest people in the world, but the Canadian fans after that, and I guess understandably a little bit, literally every time he stood over a golf shot to hit a shot, they were booing and yelling and screaming for his ball to go in the water, and made it pretty bad for him the rest of the next day and a half of golfing, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you do something like that, you're probably going to get some people that take it way too seriously. It's supposed to be in fun, and you would hope that they would. I mean, how would they get treated if a Canadian did that here and they won the gold medal? And came to Hockey Town and put on a Canada jersey with the game-winning goal scorer in Detroit? They might get booed.
Well, you just look at the Ryder Cup. That'll tell you everything right there.
Yep. But I thought it was hysterical, and it was like, good for Wyndham Clark.
By the way, speaking of fans, did you see the Japan fans?
Dude, they're unbelievable.
They clean up their mess after the game.
They like literally bring, and John, thank you for the phone call. They literally bring trash bags and clean out the section that they were just in.
Yeah. And this happens all over, but we saw it at a World Cup event.
Pretty crazy.
Yes. Huh? And it's for part of a thing that he's doing. Jameis Winston was helping him out. He was wearing a Japanese jersey and was cleaning trash. Jameis Winston.
I mean, bravo.
He's always
to
in
them
during garbage time, I feel like.
Wow. Well played, Kang. Yeah, pretty one. Pretty crazy. Mm-hmm.
We're down 50, or we need you to clean the the seats. Yeah. Get in there, Jameis.
From an unnamed texter, I have such World Cup FOMO watching all the IG reels. The Scots taking over Boston is something beautiful to see. It's a lot of little cool stories. Was it Algeria that's stationed in
Kansas City?
And I thought they were in Lawrence, Kansas. Oh, or they were training in Lawrence, Kansas.
Right, they're playing at Arrowhead,
though. And they kind of got adopted by Kansas Jayhawk fans. Mm-hmm. And there was the video of the guy, Rock Chalk, Algeria.
That's
for
awesome.
People who don't know, Kansas is...
Yes.
Their motto is Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
I heard Algeria really wasn't good, but Bill Self managed to pay the players a little bit.
Zing.
Is Hunter Dickinson applying for Algeria?
He can be a goalie, covers up a lot of the Mets.
Speaking of which, the goalie that we beat, Paraguay?
Yeah.
That guy had the biggest wingspan, which would be very useful for a keeper.
Yeah.
He had massively long arms, and I looked it up, and he's only 6'2". But he looked like a giant. I'm sorry, he's 6'3", but he looked taller than that. And his nickname, I don't know if you know this.
No,
his
I don't.
Nickname,
I'll tell you that right now, I don't know this.
Is Gatito.
Oh.
And the reason is his dad was also a keeper, and his nickname was Gato, which means cat. Apparently, Gatito means kitten. So his dad was a keeper nicknamed Gato. Mm-hmm. And so he, also a keeper, is nicknamed Kitten. But massive, massive wingspan on that guy.
Okay. Wow. I saw the goalie for Japan was actually born in the United States. Suzuki.
It's a little crazy how they cross. This is going to sound weird, okay? And I
that's
you know,
okay. You're with me. You're
that's true. I guess that'll pale in comparison to what you'll say probably five times this show.
Uh-huh.
All the players, right? U.S. citizens?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I feel like the coach should be too?
I used to agree with that, but then I remember all those years where they decided, you know what, we're going to try to get the best coach.
Yeah.
Because it happens to other countries.
Everybody does it, yeah. But I'm like, shouldn't the coach be a citizen as well? And I guess the only American coaching one of these teams is Canada's coach is an American.
Yeah, who was pissed off. Something to do with the national anthem and all this kind of.
I'm not like one of these
patriots.
I'm not an anti-immigrant or anything like that. No. But I'm just saying, it just feels to me like our coach should also be a citizen, which you can be for a descent and come here and become a naturalized citizen.
You're saying whatever the rules are for the player should also come with the staff.
Am I wrong?
And I don't think you're outrageous with that take, honestly. I kind of agree.
Like, and I don't want to start like some sort of holistic no. political discussion, as we know that this could get out of control, but I've thought this forever. Like, huh.
I feel like everyone down to the training staff should be like...
Well, the whole thing with like this and the Olympics were like, how the hell would, if he qualified, Chris Chelios was going to represent Greece because his grandmother's from there or something?
That, I mean, they have absurd. Rules. They have rules sure. that allow you to be, you know, dual citizen. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with dual citizenship, no. But I just...
But at least there's some, like, lineage there. I mean, I think it's a free-for-all with the staff, right? It doesn't even matter.
I think it
like,
is a free-for-all with the staff.
There's no rules.
Not from any country yeah, to coach right. your team, which a lot of people do. I'm, you know, and it's the way it's always been.
Yeah, of course.
Just, my son, then, shouldn't the coach also be a citizen? I don't know. Herb Brooks coaching the Miracle on Ice is sort of the standard for all of our team sports when it comes to international play.
So if Scotty Bowman wanted to coach Team USA, it would be no go.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
What was the famous one that we had for Scotty? Klinsmann, right? Years ago? Jürgen Klinsmann?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a Bora? Is there a Bora?
I don't know. Yeah, well, yes, I think there was, actually.
It wasn't? Yeah. Anyway, it's not that big a deal.
No,
I just idle thought. Greg and Livonia, champ is Brandon Bussey, and the Hurricanes, chump is Hinch, for continuing to bewilder us with his pinch-hitting selections. It's Carson Anderson, open lines, 248-539-9797, 97.1.